You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So the New York Mets got blown out by the Orioles on Tuesday night. David Peterson did not look great once again. I'm going to talk about this game and his struggles in the first segment. Then in the second segment, I'll talk about what options exist on the Mets roster and in the minor leagues to maybe help this rotation if they decide to send Peterson down at some point in the near future. Then finally in the third segment, I'll talk about if the Mets should address their rotation through the trade market ahead of the deadline. Definitely something that has become more of a topic of conversation with the lack of successful starting pitching from the back end of the rotation and with the uncertainty regarding Carlos Carrasco and Noah Syndergaard with their respective injuries. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMirageOnline.com. So in the first inning of the game on Tuesday, Pete Alonso put the Mets up early with a two-run homer that got out in a hurry, an exit velocity of 111 miles per hour, traveled 408 feet. The Mets were riding the momentum of winning those last two games in San Diego. You're playing a bad Orioles team. Peterson looked good in the first inning. Induced four ground balls, worked around some sloppy play from the Mets infield, a really bad replay review, found his way through all of it without giving up a run. Feeling pretty good, right? The Mets have a great chance to win their third game in a row, put themselves in a position to get the two-game sweep over the Orioles. Then it all fell apart. Peterson gives up three runs in the second inning off four hits, three of them being doubles. Then he gives up two more doubles, three hits altogether in the third inning to give up another run. You look at his line following his start, four runs, eight hits given up, doesn't even make it through three innings. Robert Gsellman has to come in to get the final out of the third inning and spare him further damage. But then, of course, Gsellman yielded a lot of damage himself, giving up four runs off four hits in the following two innings. Jacob Barnes and Drew Smith finished out the game pitching for the Mets. Both of them gave up a run. Barnes looked a lot more sloppy than Smith. Smith just gave up a solo homer. Other than that, he looked pretty good. So he was maybe the one bright spot, if you can call it that, in an absolutely terribly pitched game by the Mets. And that basically is all you need to take from this defeat. I mean, there's really nothing else to say. Pete Alonso hit two home runs in a game that the Mets got blown out. Good to see him get that confidence boost. Good to see him bring up his home run total for the season. But the Mets were completely deflated with the way Peterson pitched in the second and third inning. And I know they have the support. I know the entire team supports each other, right? I know that his teammates aren't trying to knock him. But there is something that just completely can crater your momentum when you have that early lead in the first inning against a bad team. And you just think, all right, we can just put this thing in cruise control. Obviously, you'd want to tack on more runs, but there was a certain level of confidence, a certain level of buzz that you could see on the guys' faces in the dugout and everything after Pete's home run that was just completely zapped away as the Orioles just continue to pass the baton and get hit after hit off of Peterson. And at a certain point, we can't just continue to ignore all the struggles he's had this year. On yesterday's show, I talked a little bit about it. He had 5 good starts and 5 bad starts up to that point. This now tips that scale where he's been bad more than he's been good. Next time out, maybe he's great. And Rojas after the game said he's going to get the opportunity to make his next start at the major league level. But at some point, it has to creep into the mind of the front office that maybe this is a guy that needs to get demoted and work on some stuff. You got to remember, Peterson never pitched in AAA. His last season in 2019 in the minors, he pitched in AA exclusively, would have been in AAA in 2020. COVID happens. The Mets have a terrible starting rotation. They need arms. They have a ton of injuries. Peterson gets called into action, and he was the Mets' second best starter last year to DeGrom. He was great. 3.44 ERA. But as I said on yesterday's show, some of the expected metrics told you that maybe he got a little bit fortunate to pitch to such a low ERA last year. Now you look at this season, and the numbers have not been pretty. Again, if you go back to Monday's show, I talked about the numbers against his slider that continued in this start. He's either missing with his slider out of the zone where batters can just spit on the pitch, or he's leaving it out over the heart of the plate where they can do a lot of damage. You saw 7 balls against Peterson with an exit velocity of 92 miles per hour or better, 4 of them over 99. He was getting crushed. That's just the reality of what happened against this Orioles team. That is not some lineup that is incredibly loaded. Do they handle left-handed pitching well? Absolutely. But as a left-handed starting pitcher, you don't avoid starting him against a lineup that can hit lefties well. You expect him to be able to get righties out, and that just wasn't the case in this start. And overall, it hasn't been the case over his last 4 starts. He has a 9.88 ERA over those 4 starts. Obviously, his last 2 starts have just been awful. He's given up 9 runs. He's only pitched 3 innings. So that is a ERA in June of 135. Now, that is a ridiculously small sample size that can produce such a absurd type of a result when you compare the fact that Jacob DeGrom has an ERA under 1 and this month Peterson has an ERA over 100. I'm sorry, you got to point these things out sometimes because it's easier to laugh than to cry. Look, David Peterson, I think, has a bright future as a starting pitcher in baseball. I think he is going to have a long career. I think he can have a really big part on this team over the next couple of years. But is it best for him to continue to struggle and get these bad results at the major league level? Or is it better to say, look, something's not working. We're going to send you down to AAA. You have to swallow what that would mean for him as far as the emotional strain of going down, not because a Carlos Carrasco has come back, but because you've been struggling. And sometimes that's a good thing for a player to have to go through those lumps. And maybe you get out of the spotlight, you get out of the pressure, you go to Syracuse, you've never pitched in AAA, you give him 3 or 4 starts, maybe he gets back on track that way. The question then would become, who takes his place? And I think that's where you get into the problem. Maybe that's why the Mets are going to ride it out with Peterson, because there just isn't a lot of good options behind him. So we're going to talk about what those options are and if the Mets should go to outside of the organization in the following 2 segments. Before we get into that, though, tomorrow it is Locker Room Day. And this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. This is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. And I host my Locker Rooms on Wednesday during the game, so you can finally get in on the conversation you listen to here every day and watch a Mets game with me. Tomorrow, Matt Harvey versus Taijuan Walker. Going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you download the free Locker Room app and be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates, and follow me at Finkelstein Ryan and you'll be notified when my room goes live. I know you don't want to miss it. Again, I go live on Wednesdays every week. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Mets. I'll see you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. They also have a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors as well, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. These are all FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA card to purchase Lucy now. It's convenient and discreet. They can be used anywhere on flights, at work, on the go, even at the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's that simple because they have delivery down. Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including the gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. So if the Mets decide to demote David Peterson, the problem is there's really only 2 internal options they can go to. You have Thomas Cipucci, who has a 2.05 ERA in Syracuse this year, 25 strikeouts and 22 innings pitched. He does have a 1.41 whip, has dealt with walk issues this year, although his last time out he was better with 7 strikeouts to just 1 walk. Still, this is a pitching prospect that has a ton of potential, a very high ceiling. Unfortunately, he had Tommy John surgery following 2017, has taken a lot of time to get back. He hasn't even thrown 100 innings in a minor league season yet. There's a lot of different elements that come with promoting Cipucci. You have the injury concern, obviously, the desire to give him some more seasoning in the minor leagues. This is really his first taste of AAA, and you want to really let him develop. You don't want to rush these pitching prospects because we've seen in the past with guys like Killame last year, who is another fringe option for the Mets. He is with Syracuse, no longer on the 40-man roster, but he's pitching to a 4.26 ERA. He was a guy last year, though, that was just thrust into action because the Mets needed an arm, and he was on the 40, and it didn't work out. We saw something similar with Chris Flexen years ago, and now Flexen went off to the KBO, had a lot of success. Now he's with Seattle, having more success. He is reclaiming what the Mets maybe took from him by forcing him to the major level early, going from AA straight to the big league roster, and then kind of being shuttled up and down. That doesn't always work. There's some guys, though, that you call up, they're that talented, and they can hit the ground running. And maybe that's the case for Cipucci. I don't know. The problem, along with worrying about what it means for his development, is that he's also a chip for the Mets right now. You can't ignore that and toss it aside as nothing. I don't think the Mets want to trade any more pitching prospects. Birdie Van Wagenen did a lot of that. But as you head to the deadline, if the Mets decide this team is good enough and this team's in a position to really make a run, and they have to swing a big deal for whatever player. Maybe it is for a starting pitcher. Maybe it is for another bat in their lineup. Maybe they decide we need Chris Bryant. Who knows what the Mets are going to want to do at the deadline. If you call Cipucci up and he doesn't pitch well, you just cost yourself a potential chip that you might need at the deadline. It's kind of similar to what we just saw with Khalil Lee, right? Now it's good that he's back in Syracuse where he can maybe rebuild that value if he's putting up good numbers, but everyone just saw on full display that Khalil Lee is not a major leaguer yet and still needs a lot of work to get to that level. So there's other elements to making these decisions that could lead the Mets to avoid promoting him, but at the same time, They've come close. He has been on the taxi squad, about to be called up this year, and it just hasn't quite happened for him yet. I do think at some point this season, we're going to see this guy at the major league level. It's just too long of a season. The guy has too much talent to not eventually call his number, and right now might be the time to do it. It might be the time to throw caution to the wind, call up your top pitching prospect to fill in for what was formerly your top pitching prospect, swap the two lefties, see what Zapucki has, see if Peterson can get back to what he was, and go from there. It's just a big move for this franchise to make, because you're not just talking about the short term, you're talking about the long term implications for both pitchers. Now, the safest move might be to find a spot in the 40 for Jared Eichhoff, bring the MLB vet who's got a ton of experience up to the big league roster, and just let him be a competent veteran fifth starter. Is he going to be great? Probably not. Like, is Jared Eichhoff going to go out and pitch to a sub-3 ERA? No. But can he go in and give you some quality starts and give you some length and be a competent fifth leg to your rotation? I think he can. So far in Syracuse, I think his numbers are interesting because he has a 4.62 ERA. Not great. But he's 5-0. So he's winning games, which is kind of what you would expect for a pitcher like Eichhoff, who will be good some days and bad others, which is what the Mets have essentially got from Peterson. But maybe Eichhoff is a guy who, when he's bad, he can wear one and get you through five innings when he doesn't have it in a way that maybe Peterson can't. So there's a lot of different ways the Mets can go about this. I think right now the plan seems to be to continue to pump Peterson with confidence and hope that he's better the next time out. The Mets don't need to panic, although the fan base always likes to when there's a game like this where the Mets get blown out. But you still look at the division. You're still in a great position. No one's running away from this. No one's catching up to you just yet. It's one loss. You go out, you beat the Orioles in game two. You get the split. You have a 5-4 road trip. You say, hey, that's not too bad. You get a day off. You got Jacob DeGrom going on Friday night. Things could be a lot worse. So with that being said, with the fact that Joey Lucchese seems to be turning it around, although we don't know if he's going to ever give the Mets length, that would give you right now still four very competent pieces in this rotation, with one that is very up and down in Peterson. And if you get one of his good starts the next time out, that will certainly quiet the concerns, and maybe he builds off that and finds some consistency. It just hasn't looked good so far, and that leads you to look elsewhere. And when it comes to the in-house options, Zapucki, definitely the high ceiling option, but that does come with its drawbacks. And then you have Eichhoff, who is kind of the high floor option that you can go to, and he could at least give you some length, give you some experience, and maybe just get you to the All-Star break where maybe you'll get Carlos Carrasco back. The other option is to look outside of the organization. And that's what I'm going to talk about next, whether the Mets should begin to think about trading for a starting pitcher. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors to choose from, like the caramel brownie bar, my personal favorite, cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp, amongst others. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it's free. to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. When a starting pitcher goes out two times in a row, doesn't make it through three innings, actually only pitches three innings in the two starts combined, gives up nine runs, what's going to happen? The fan base is going to start clamoring for a trade. Make a move, Zach Scott. Alderson, where you at? Make a move. I understand that notion from fans. It is rough to watch these starts where you get all excited to watch a Mets game, you sit on your couch, and by the third inning, you know that they have no chance. That being said, going and making a move right now is very tough. There's a reason why the Mets, despite all of their injuries, have only been able to come up with a player like Billy McKinney. And that's not a knock on McKinney. He's just a guy who has struggled in his different stops. He was available because he was DFA'd, and the Mets were able to swoop in, pick him up, and he's been good. But that is the bargain bin that you're probably shopping in right now for starting pitchers, unless you spend big to acquire one of the guys that's having a great season. Whether you look at a couple of the guys out in Colorado and German Marquez or John Gray, if you're looking at the huge pie-in-the-sky option of getting the Nationals to trade Scherzer in the division, which would probably cost you an arm and a leg and a top prospect, however you want to look at that one. Whether you're talking about Kyle Gibson with the Rangers, who somebody has brought up to me on social media over the past couple of days, is having a great season, although for his career, hasn't always been this guy, so what are you necessarily trading for? There's a lot of names that can get thrown around, but you don't really know who's available and what the cost is. But what you do know is the circumstances. And right now, the Mets are sitting in this position where you still are holding out hope that you'll get at least Carlos Carrasco back. I think Noah Syndergaard is kind of a, if you get him, awesome, you'll take it, but you're not counting on that. I don't think we've gotten to that point with Carrasco just yet. Even though his return is not coming in the near future, probably won't come much sooner than the All-Star break. If you had to put a timetable, I think that would probably be the most optimistic one, is to get him back around then or just after then. You still expect at this point to get Carlos Carrasco back. And when you get him back, you look at that rotation. If everyone else stays healthy, a playoff rotation of Jacob deGrom, Marcus Stroman, Taijuan Walker, and Carlos Carrasco is excellent. That is more than enough. You don't need to mortgage any more of the future for your starting rotation if you can ultimately get to that point. The question is, can you survive to get to that point? And that's what the Mets have to weigh here. Is it worth trading a prospect that might hurt you down the line to win now? And a lot of times, look, if you win, if you make the playoffs, if you go on and win a World Series, all those trades are worth it. You know, Michael Fulmer won a Rookie of the Year after the Mets traded him for Yoenis Cespedes. No one cared. The Mets made it to the World Series. These are the types of moves that you have to make if your team has World Series aspirations, and the Mets certainly fit the billing there. But you also don't want to make a rash decision, make a trade for someone like Kyle Gibson. He turns into a pumpkin. The prospect that you gave up blossoms, and you're kicking yourself a couple years down the line. During the series against the Padres, they talked a lot on the radio broadcast, at least, about James Shields for Fernando Tatis Jr. The White Sox actually made that trade. They had Fernando Tatis Jr. They needed James Shields for some playoff push that ultimately resulted in nothing for them, and they gave up a generational talent. I don't think the Mets would trade any of the players that would fit that billing of being a generational talent, like a Francisco Alvarez, like Brett Beatty, like Ronnie Mauricio, Matthew Allen. But we get back to that range that I talked about on yesterday's show. I believe it was yesterday's show, where I threw out Mark Vientos' name. Now, the reason I keep bringing up Vientos is not because I want to see the Mets move him. It's actually the exact opposite. I want to see them keep this guy. I think his bat is going to be very good when he gets to the big league level. At the same time, when you make these trades, it's always fun to fantasize about giving up prospects that you don't care about. But the reality is, most of the time, to get something good, you got to give up something good. And trading a guy like Vientos is going to hurt. And that is the type of prospect that you likely have to trade to get the type of an upgrade that really makes a difference. And because the Mets have Brett Beatty, who is absolutely tearing the cover off the ball in Brooklyn, you have some depth at that position in the minor leagues. I feel like he is maybe the guy that could be used if the Mets need to make a blockbuster deal without including those other guys that we talk about. But if you only can make one trade with this guy, is it for a starting pitcher? Is it for help in your lineup? When do you make that deal? Do you make it now? Or do you continue to ride this out because the Mets continue to find ways to win despite some of these struggles? And you buy time until you really need to make a move, until the Braves are within a game of you when it gets close. I don't think the Mets should be afraid of the Braves until the Braves get close to them, because I think that this is a Mets team that is primed to have an absolutely amazing second half when their lineup gets back together. So if that is the case, maybe it's best to hold on to all your chips right now while you still have a lead in the division. Hope that David Peterson figures it out. And if he doesn't, maybe you go with some of your internal options first before you make the home run trade that can take you over the top. Ultimately, I think patience pays off in these situations. And I want to leave you with this, because last year we saw the opposite of patience at the deadline with the Mets. They had a team that was broken beyond repair, and Jeff Wilpon panicked and made a move knowing that this team was no longer going to be his, and this was his last chance to get a hand on a trophy. And so he said, hey, let's give up a prospect and get Miguel Castro, because that's going to fix it all. And even though Castro has been good this year, I hated the trade at the time. Anyone who was listening to the show back then can attest to that, because I really liked Kevin Smith. And what is Kevin Smith doing this year in the Baltimore Orioles organization in AA? He's pitching to a 0.86 ERA with 29 strikeouts and 21 innings pitched. Has a 1.19 whip. Sometimes it's better to hang on to prospects as opposed to giving them up just to make the trade that makes sense at the moment. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets, where we are running a giveaway right now for a signed photo of Wally Backman. Make sure you enter for a chance to win. That drawing will end on Thursday at 7 p.m. Also, if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, listen to the Locked On Today podcast, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.